In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, Christ Church, and greetings to you from Monument, Colorado, where I am with over 40 men from our parish for a men's retreat. We're having a wonderful time of fellowship and prayer, teaching, just being together and in God's nature. We send you our blessings and our love. This morning, we're going to pick up with our third of four scriptural admonitions. Seek to be filled, from Ephesians 5:18. If you've got your Bibles, I encourage you to turn there this morning. Let's set this verse first in some context. Chapter 5 begins where Paul left off in Ephesians 4, where he's talking about not grieving the Holy Spirit, if you remember that sermon from a couple weeks ago. In verses 1 and 2 of chapter 5, Paul continues a persistent line of thought. Therefore, be imitators of God and walk in love as Christ loved us. Verses 3 through 13, Paul continues to enumerate what is not consistent with imitating God's love. Sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, crude joking. This list for Paul is not exhaustive, but illustrative, representing general categories and kinds of behaviors, habits, mindsets that are inconsistent with Christ-likeness, or as he puts it, the unfruitful works of darkness, verse 11. Jump to verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And verse 17, do not be foolish, but understand. You seeing the juxtapositions here? Then, verse 18, do not get drunk on wine, that's debauchery, but seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It is there we will pick up this morning. Now, I don't know about you, but I only ever heard this verse quoted by teetotaling temperance types who were trying to tell me that drinking and divinity were incompatible. I don't want to chase a rabbit trail here. And it's not just because I really like Colorado microbreweries, even if I really do like Colorado microbreweries in moderation. It's just that this rather flat interpretation of this verse doesn't really get to the heart of what Paul is saying here. Paul is continuing to develop a through line in this entire letter. Drunkenness is just the latest in a string of contrasts to Christ-likeness, alongside the just mentioned sexual immorality and filthy talk. Throughout this letter, we find numerous counterexamples to being imitators of God. And in leading you through this list of things you shouldn't do, Paul wants you to ask, well then, if not that stuff, how do I become an imitator of God? He then hits you with the answer in the latter half of this verse. Seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Paul's meaning here is far richer, deeper, more profound than we've oft been told. When he's saying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the word that Paul uses here, pleroo, means to make full, to complete, to fulfill. Most of the time, this word appears in the New Testament, in fact. It is translated as fulfilled, as in when Jesus fulfills messianic prophecies, like at the beginning of Matthew's gospel, when he notes that the conception of Jesus in the virgin's womb fulfills an age-old prophecy, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, Isaiah 7:14. That is to say, the word here means to bring to completion, to fulfillment, the achievement of something desired, promised, or predicted. Paul's not just saying to be filled as in simply filling a cup. He's making a more profound philosophical and anthropological claim. To be filled is what a cup is for, right? That's its design, its intent, its purpose. And when we fill it, we are bringing it to its fulfillment. Y'all with me? Because I'm putting my philosophy degree to work here. You see, Dad, it's not completely useless. Not worth the paper it's printed on. What was I saying? Right. Paul is employing a weighty rhetorical contrast here to make a point about the human person. He's not just saying, don't be filled with natty light, fill yourself up with the Holy Spirit. He's saying something subtler and more profound. You were not created, designed, intended to just be filled with wine or natty light. You were created, designed, intended to be filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, to be a container, a vessel, a tabernacle for God to dwell in. You, y'all, not just some gleaming temple in Jerusalem, but y'all are the ultimately intended dwelling place for the Most High. Y'all are the ones in whom, among whom, with whom the Spirit of the living God desires to dwell. And to allow the Holy Spirit into your life is your fulfillment. It is what you were created for. To receive the Holy Spirit into your life, to be filled to the brim with God's presence, is your completion. So don't settle for less, Paul is suggesting, when you can have the realization of your soul's worth. Look, everything in this world is trying to sell you fulfillment. Hop on Tinder, you'll be fulfilled. Buy a Tesla, you'll be fulfilled. Lose 10 pounds, you'll be fulfilled. Get that promotion, you'll be fulfilled. Cue the Snickers Satisfies commercials where Godzilla's rampaging through a city until somebody throws him a Snickers and all of a sudden he's gleefully water skiing. Hungry? Why wait? Snickers Satisfies. But here's the deal. That Snickers bar only has about 4 grams of protein and about 26 grams of simple sugar that in reality is going to cause your blood sugar to spike and then plummet, leaving you actually hungry than you were before. Am I against Snickers? No, but I trust you get my point. And Paul's. Paul isn't a buzzkill. He just wants you to have the real deal, what will truly satisfy the longing of the human heart. It's like what I tell my kids whenever we go to Olive Garden. And yes, this Polak has impeccable taste in Italian. Don't get too filled up on those breadsticks. Your real meal is coming. Replace the word filled here with fulfilled, and I think you'll get a truer, richer sense of what Paul's saying. Don't fill up on anything else, any substitute. Don't get overfull on wealth or material possessions, racking up prestige or accolades, false comforts or securities, binging Netflix or any of those good gifts of the world that God gave to us for our enjoyment, including Olive Garden breadsticks. Instead, be filled, be fulfilled with the Holy Spirit. Soaked and saturated, pervaded and permeated by the presence of the living God, already within you, around you, in this place. This is the path to true contentment. As the psalmist says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. But here's the thing. Let's just leave aside the fact that our brains are like 90% animal brains with about 10% of prefrontal, higher functioning cortex, awash in a sea of soul-sucking busyness and secular neo-pagan solipsistic hedonism and late capitalist identity lies that you are what you buy, which all makes this whole being imitators of God thing really, really, really hard. But being filled with the Holy Spirit is really difficult when you don't believe the Holy Spirit is real. A recent survey conducted by the Cultural Resource Center in 2021 found that 60% of self-identified Christians believe that the Holy Spirit is, quote, not a real living being, but merely a symbol of God's power, presence, or purity. 60%. This means that 3 out of every 5 Christians who presumably believe in Jesus and might even go to church are trying to be with, become like, and live like our Savior without the Spirit he promised. 3 out of every 5 of us are trying to be faithful without being filled. Is it any wonder that we're not finding contentment in the world or the church? Which brings us back to Paul's admonition. Seek true fulfillment. Seek to be filled. We cannot live the Christian life to the fullness. We cannot live life to its fullness without being filled. Yet remember, Scripture teaches us that the Holy Spirit can either be fanned into flames within us and within our church and world, or he can be quenched and grieved. God is gracious and cooperates with our desires, rushing in when welcomed, courteously withdrawing when disinvited. So the question then is posed to us. First, do we actually believe in the Holy Spirit? Not just as a vague symbol or a Star Wars-esque force, but as a person and a promise. Do we actually believe? And second, do we desire the Spirit? See, it's one thing to believe in an abstract doctrinal concept. Yeah, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. It's another thing to have a living and active relationship with a living, active person. Or to put it another way, to move from intellect to intent to action and affection. To not just believe, but to receive, to be filled and fulfilled by the Holy Spirit. Do you actually believe in and desire the Spirit? Do you? If your answer is yes, here's the good news. With our God, there are no gimmicks or games. The Spirit is a gift that Jesus himself promises, John 7:38-39. Whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow within them. By this, John adds, he meant the Spirit whom those who believed were to receive. If you believe in him, you will receive him. If you earnestly desire him, look to him for your fulfillment, instead of wealth or your spouse or your kids or your friends or your job or your status or anything else that we might use to anesthetize ourselves from the pain and boredom of life, including Olive Garden breadsticks, wine, and Natty Light. If you earnestly desire him, ask for him, seek him, you will find him. Be filled with him like a river of living water welling up from within. So here's my encouragement to you this morning and every day in the week ahead. Invite the Holy Spirit into your life. Seek, earnestly desire to be filled. Whether for the first time or the 40,000th time or the first time in a long time, seek to be filled. Invite the Spirit into your life. Open yourself up to sensing the Spirit's presence, not as an abstract symbol or concept, but an intimate companion. You will likely sense what many have felt, from Bezalel the artist in Exodus 31 to the Blessed Virgin Mary, a subtle prompting, a profound knowing, an undeniable sense. Say yes to that prompting, especially when it pushes you out of your comfort zones. Nurture that sense. Attune your soul. Make room in your distracted, busy life. In closing, let me just flag up one concrete example. The Spirit's prompting of Nancy and Steve Petty to adopt their daughter, Grace Anna. Written up and amply titled, Finding Grace, Nancy recounts how, after birthing and raising three boys, she and Steve felt a prompting to consider adoption. She recounts of being, quote, distracted, determined to be guided by God's perfect plan, rather than the force of her own desires, but having her resolve tested as months stretched into years and expectation turned into resignation. Can anyone relate? I began to wonder if I had been mistaken all along, she admits. Until, that is, Steve came home from a worship conference in Colorado Springs with a sense of God's leading. It was not an audible voice, she explains, but an undeniable impression. Fast forward a few months, and they're in the People's Republic of China, holding a daughter that they named Grace Anna. As she explains, both Grace and Anna signify grace, so her name literally means a double portion. Here's the point. Here's the person. Here is the promise. Whether you're an artist or called to adoption or trying to follow Jesus as an accountant, lawyer, stay-at-home parent, or retiree, seek to be filled. Seek to be fulfilled by the source of true fulfillment, the Holy Spirit Himself. Begin your day, every day this week, with a simple prayer of self-dedication to the Spirit along these lines that Saint Augustine once prayed. Will you pray with me? Breathe into me, Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may be holy. Move in me, Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Take my heart, Holy Spirit, that I may love what is holy. Strengthen me, Holy Spirit, that I may defend what is holy. Protect me, Holy Spirit, that I may always be holy. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill your people afresh and anew this day with the deep sense of your presence and your purpose for their lives. Amen.